Good morning. Is this thing on? All right.
I don't want you all to take this the wrong way, but you look a little weird. This is a little weird. So for those who are home, if you were to look out how I'm looking out, you would see a very spread out, very empty sanctuary, and everyone's wearing masks, and it's different, right? It is a little weird. Now, I am in agreement with the rest of the leaders. Give me just a moment. I'm in agreement with the rest of the leaders of the church that this is what we need to do. This is prudent. I'm in agreement with the leaders of our state that this is prudent because we want to be responsible, not just about ourselves, but we want to be responsible. We want to be caring. We want to be loving toward others, but it doesn't mean it's not weird. And I want to talk for a minute for those of you who are at home, because you can't see the weirdness here, but I want to let you in on a little secret. I can see a little bit of the weirdness going on there, and that's still a little weird too. Some of you are joining us in your pajamas right now, and I'm not going to name names, but I see a couple of cases of really bad bedhead, and just be glad I'm the only one who can see you. None of the rest can see you. And we've got some people with a bowl of Fruity Pebbles in one hand and a Bible in the other, and however it is you're joining us, we are glad that you're joining us. And we want you to know you can come as you are, whether it's here live when you come, come as you are, whether it's at home and you've just rolled out of bed, or if you haven't even gotten out of bed and you're watching from your bed, we're glad you're joining us. And we want you to know wherever you are important to God. You are important to this church. We miss you. We love you. And we will look forward to continuing to worship together for those who are here in person, for those who are at home, because your continued connection to our church is vital. It's critical. But that doesn't mean that things aren't different, that they aren't a little weird. In fact, there's been a whole lot of weird the last few months. A lot of things that are difficult. And when things are difficult over a sustained amount of time, when things are weird, then we start to get weary. We start to get worn out. So I was trading a text with someone in my life group this week, and he asked how I was doing. And I don't know about you, but I don't always like to go into a lot of detail in a text. It is a text, especially emotional detail of what's going on in your life. You just keep it a few words, a few characters, maybe throw in an emoji every once in a while if you're feeling like it, a GIF, and then you get on with life. But he asked me, how are you feeling? So I decided to be honest. How am I feeling? I am weary. I'm weary. I'm worn out. That was the truth. And when things are weird for an extended period of time, when they are different, we start to become weary, and it starts to impact how we think, and not just how we think, but how we talk, and how we talk to others, and how we treat others, and how we think about others. So I'm reminded of this passage from Proverbs 24:10. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. I like how the message says it. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Now, I don't think this is talking about just a few moments. We're all going to have our moments. And this isn't talking about the times when we do fall, when we do fail, because thank God the Spirit picks us up and dusts us off and continues to set us back on the right path. But what I think this proverb is talking about is our strength of character in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials. And they are often exposed when things are weird. And when we are weary and we are worn out, when in crisis, what is your character? Does crisis bring out impatience or patience? Do trials and tensions bring out judgment or grace? Do you become more selfish or selfless? Do you accuse or affirm? Do you divide or do you unite? And over the last few months, we have witnessed the full spectrum of responses. So in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, we will be telling our kids and our grandkids not just how we survived the great pandemic of 2020, but we will tell them about the time we lived through the great toilet paper rush of 2020. And articles continue to be published. And researchers try to continue to look into why was there a run on toilet paper? Why did people go out and hoard toilet paper? Do others know something about our dystopian future and our digestive systems that I don't know, that I desperately need to know? So over this time, our life group has continued. Different individuals and families have sent goodies to other people. It's our way of staying connected. And at one point, a couple of months ago, it was our turn. We wanted to get in on the act. And so we took cookies to different people's houses and we dropped them off at a socially safe distance, of course. And we took some cookies to the Eichorns. And Ike saw me, Josh Eichorn saw me, and he came out off of his porch again at a safe distance. And he was very excited. And he told me he just got back from Sam's. And Sam's had toilet paper in stock. And he had bought a Sam's-sized, doomsday-sized package of toilet paper. And then he said the most beautiful thing to me. I can hook you up with some if you need it. And I was so deeply moved, you would have think he just offered to give me one of his kidneys. It was that beautiful of a gesture. And we've seen, we've witnessed, hopefully we've participated in all kinds of activities where we've shared what we have with others. We've seen compassion at work and love at work to friends and strangers alike. But there's been plenty of other stories too, like this photo that went viral in late March. This is a 93-year-old woman in Melbourne, Australia. You can see she's standing in a grocery store in the middle of empty aisles, and she just stood there frozen for minutes, tears streaming down her face. Because all the basics she needed, all the essentials, had been cleared out. They were gone. She didn't know what she was going to do. Or that reminds me of another story that made headlines several months ago. Brothers in Tennessee who rounded up all the hand sanitizer and wipes as similar products as they could find, and they thought they had landed on a gold mine. They were going to make a huge profit with huge markups until authorities found out and shut them down and threatened to charge them with price gouging unless they shared some of what they had. And I won't go into all the stories of endless scams that have popped up about fake N95 masks and advertisements for fake COVID cures and people trying to take other people's stimulus relief checks. When things are weird, when people get weary and worn out, that starts to impact how we think, what we say to others, what we do to others, how we treat and interact with others. And the question is, what part of your core character will be revealed in times of trouble, when the tension is high? And what would you see when you look inside? What would you like to see? Where would you like to go? Now, I kept my message last week very simple. It boiled down to the golden rule that we're all familiar with. You do to others what you would have them do to you. And this simple message is so challenging because it sums up the law and the prophets. And I feel compelled to keep the message simple again this week. This time from Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When things are weird, when you are weary and you're becoming worn out, do you remember who you are? And do you remember who you want to be? Do you remember who God calls us to be? In the midst of the tough times, will we be overcome by evil? Or will we overcome evil with good? Now, some of you might already know what I'm about to tell you about the Nike brand. And if you didn't know it, you may have actually been exposed to it. I think the story came up in the Michael Jordan documentary that a lot of people were caught up in not too long ago. The word Nike is taken from the Greek word for victory. And it happens to be the name of the Greek goddess of victory. And the swoosh symbol is a symbol of the Greek goddess's wings. This symbol of victory. Well, it's this word that Paul uses in Romans 12, 21 that the NIV translates as overcome. It's the word for victory. Will we let evil be victorious over us, or will we be victorious over evil? And will we be victorious with good? Because that's the key, the with good. That's the only way Christian victory can be found. The way of Christ is not a win at all cost way. It's not a win by any means way. Jesus could have been victorious that way, crushing every opponent and everyone who disagreed, who got in his way. But what does the cross show us? The cross shows us that victory comes through compassion. Victory comes through service. Victory comes through being other-centered, through forgiveness and sacrifice. That is how we overcome the evil in the world. And there is always more than enough evil to go around. How do we overcome? Well, we never pay back evil with more evil, Paul says in verse 17. We overcome evil with good. We overcome hate and prejudice with love. Don't just pretend to love others, he says a few verses earlier. Really love them. Now, what we hate is what is wrong, what oppresses, the injustice, the problems that we cause with our actions. But the whole time we hold tightly to what is good. So I've been talking about the weariness that has been a part of our lives over the last 3 to 4 months, but still heavy on my heart and the hearts of many in our nation and in our world is not just the struggle with COVID-19, but it is this perpetual struggle with the sickness of racism and all manner of inequality that continue to plague our nation. And so I shared last week that I've still got work to do. I've still got learning to do. I've still got listening to do. And I am weary, but I am working to understand and working to grow in compassion and conviction. And I want to end this morning with two hopeful and helpful snapshots of people whose actions inspired me. And I could tell all kinds of story of inspirational actions, but these especially stood out because they remind us of what the proverb was telling us earlier. It was character in a moment of trouble, in a time of intense crisis. So the first, I was struck by a post in the image that you can see on your screen. And the short of the story was this, if you didn't read it. This was in Houston, and there is a 5-year-old girl in this picture, and she was a part of a peaceful protest with her parents, but she saw the police officer in full riot gear walk beside them. And she was terrified, and she began to weep, and she asked the officer two questions. Is it okay if we protest? And are you going to hurt us? Now, I don't know how that question strikes you. It's heartbreaking for me that a 5-year-old would ask that question. And this officer stopped, and he bent down, and he gave her a hug. And then he kept his arm around her, and he said, "We're here to protect you. We're not here to hurt you." And the father found it heartwarming enough that he posted that video online. And I find that heartwarming as well. Because I admitted it last week, and I'll continue to admit it. I don't have all the answers. I don't have big answers. But I know as I'm listening and as I'm learning that I can do little actions. And I know as we are listening and as we are learning, we can do little actions. We can keep listening. We can keep learning. We can keep loving. Because however we overcome these problems that our society has faced for so long, we can't pretend to love. We have to really love. And we overcome the evil around us with good. Little moments of good that build up to big actions of good. And I was also struck by this picture and the story that accompanied it. So this was in Louisville, Kentucky, during one of the protests that became volatile. And the officer in this photo is Galen Henshaw. And he heard a call over the radio that one of his fellow officers was in trouble, but there was a big crowd. And so he drove as close as he could, but it wasn't safe to keep driving, so he had to park, and he got out of his vehicle. But he was still a pretty big distance from the rest of his group, and he started to walk, but the crowd continued to swell. And he started to realize there was no easy way to make it over to his fellow officers. And so he worked his way beside a building with the building at the back, and he stopped and he looked at the situation, tried to catch his breath, tried to assess the situation. The crowd so far had been peaceful, but he didn't know what might happen, especially while he was alone. And someone else in the crowd saw that he was alone. And so up steps this guy to stand between, just to make sure nothing's going to happen to the person behind me. And then someone else in the crowd saw that guy standing between the officer and the crowd, and he said, "He looks like he needs help." So up steps another guy, and he links arms with this stranger to protect the stranger behind him. And then more people step up, another and another, and all of these strangers linking arms, protecting a person they don't know. 3 black men, a Latino man, 1 white man, protecting an officer who was half Pakistani. And when it was all over, and reporters reached out to different people involved, the officer said that he has been in tears multiple times since that event. He was so grateful that perfect strangers, in a time of tension, stood between him and the crowd just to make sure. And every person who locked arms that day, who did not know one another when they were interviewed, said something along these lines: that's just the way it should be. And I couldn't agree more. That's not the way it always is. There are countless ways that I miss the mark. And I need to continue to grow, and I'm working to continue to grow. And there are countless ways that as a church we miss the mark, and as a society we miss the mark, and as a world we miss the mark. We fall short of God's beautiful design for creation and humanity. So how do we combat it? That's the question. And I don't have big answers. But I know we can do little actions. And it starts with things like this. We keep learning, we keep listening, and we keep loving. We don't just pretend to love others. We really love them. We hate what is wrong, not people. We hate what is wrong. We hate the injustice in our world. We hate the oppression in our world. We hate the things that leave some out and bring some in. And so we hold tightly to what is good. We never pay back evil with evil. Because when we do that, no matter who is involved, you notice evil always comes out the victor in that equation. Now, we're not overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good.